from Milwaukee. And what's the church that you serve at down there?
Well, we served at the Oak Creek Assembly of God Church on the south side of Milwaukee for the last 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now we've transitioned full-time into what we're doing, preparing for our mission field in Spain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you said you have a video
You
want to start off with?
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Pastor Randy, for having us. Here's a little video. You'll see some pictures of where we're heading to and you know, just a little bit of a picture of what some of the needs are there in Spain. So we are Mark and Heather McKinstry, and we are international church planters in Spain. God has clearly called us to go, and so we have left our jobs. My wife has been a teacher and an assistant principal in the Milwaukee area. She just wrapped up that assignment a couple of weeks ago. As Pastor Randy mentioned, I was serving on staff at a church for the last 20 years in Milwaukee. And boy, you know, when God speaks to your heart about something, what do? You obey, right? You follow when he asks you to go or to move or to change or whatever it might be. You go. And so we're just super excited about this opportunity that's come before us. These are English-speaking churches in major cities in Spain, and we are particularly targeting international people and Spanish young adults. God has, like I said, opened up an incredible door for us to go and share this, and so we're so grateful to be here today. This is my wife, Heather, and she is awesome.
I get to introduce our family. If you could go to the next slide. We have two daughters, Ashley and Allie, and so Allie is our youngest. She's standing next to Mark in the picture. So she's, their birthdays are in July, so I always move now. They're just about 19. She's just about 19, and she is going to... It's kind of weird. She just finished her freshman year of college, but she's entering her junior year of college at Concordia University. She is an environmental science major. She likes nature, and I don't know where she came from because I'm a city girl, but she is clean water technology, and she wants to use that in missions someday as well. And then her sister Ashley is just about 21, and she is pre-med. At this moment, she's at Ohio State Medical College for an internship this summer, but she also attends Concordia University, and so she'll be entering her senior year of college in the fall. We're really proud of both of them. They love the Lord with their whole heart. They've known for years that this has been the plan for mom and dad, but we just moved out of our house 3 weeks ago, and so the reality of, like, this is all really happening is all hitting us, and so we moved Allie into a condo, and she's going to be living off campus there with a roommate, and Ashley is living on campus. She works on campus, and so she'll be doing that, and so we're really excited to be doing this, but we also realize the hardness of what we're doing for everybody, and so if you could pray for our girls, as well as us in our mission that we're doing. We're really excited, and we're glad to obey. God has truly, truly blessed us in every area, and I just have to say it's really fun to travel around, you know, the state, and I just as the guitar player got down and you said his name, I was like, that is Wesley Lewin. I was at his baby shower. So actually his dad was Mark's youth pastor in Midland, Michigan, and then we were on staff there for 1 year, our first year of marriage, and we love the Lewins, love the Lewins, and so still really very good friends with them, and yeah, that was like crazy. I'm like looking at his eyes because I'm like, I'll tell it's a Lewin if I look at his eyes. That's a Lewin. So that was cool. Anyway, so just really thankful for the legacy that God has birthed in us through the church. We ourselves have many spiritual children that are in ministry around the state and around the world as well. And so we're excited to take that ministry to Spain.
Yeah. And that really is what ministry is about, isn't it? It's person to person, you know, sharing life with those that are around us. And for me, it was Wesley's dad who loved me and just, you know, accepted me and kept bringing me to the feet of Jesus for years as a teen who didn't know the Lord and wasn't following him until I came to a place where God got a hold of my heart and I just surrendered my life to Jesus. But that's how it works, isn't it? We pass it on. And for us, one of our values are that we will never let the gospel end with us. And we've done that in ministry all of our lives. And as Heather said, we're excited to take that to Spain now. So a lot of people, when they hear that we're headed to Spain, they kind of scratch their heads. And they say, well, why are you going to Spain? Does Spain need missionaries? Does Europe need missionaries? Why are you going there? And first of all, like I said, God called us clearly, and so we're going. And if you'd like to hear about that, we'd love to share that with you after the service. You can also find that on our website, too. We've got some blogs on there that share those stories of God's calling. So God has clearly called us, and when we checked out the need there, we were just totally surprised by what we found out the need in Europe is. But it makes sense that God would call us there, and particularly the ministry we're doing. So what we did is we brought these jars, and again, Spain is really different in a lot of ways. If you can go to the next slide there. The way we want to point out a difference to you is just statistically, with this idea of gospel access. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, but gospel access in Spain. It's surprising. In fact, it's stunning. And so we brought these two jars. This jar in my left hand represents the statistical picture of gospel access in America. So there's 1,000 beads in this jar, and out of every, and you see white beads and red beads. And so there are 273 red beads in that jar. And those represent people who follow Christ, like you and me, who believe in Jesus, who have saving faith in Christ. And so statisticians tell us that in America, out of every 1,000 people, there's 273. And what's cool about this is almost every white bead touches a red bead. You know, we have incredible influence right here in our nation. And it's churches like this that are choosing to rise up and make a difference in their community that bring the hope of Christ to the white beads that are all around us. In Spain, this is the picture, in particular, of where we're going, the Barcelona area, which is in the province of Catalonia. In Catalonia, there's about 10 million people, and our country coordinators there, the Smiths, tell us that the numbers there out of every 1,000 people would be 4 have saving faith in Christ. That's less than 0.5%. Does that surprise you? Because that surprised me. Here's the deal. God cares about this, and God cares about this. And God has asked us to leave our safe place here, or at least our comfortable place, for us comfortable, and head to Spain, where we know he's going to do big things. Our ministry with the International Church is involved in targeting two demographics. First of all, would be international people. There's a couple of million internationals that live in this region. But also, we're going to be targeting young adults and university students. And so that's always been a part of our heart, and a big part of our ministry is helping young people connect with Christ, find their calling, and then, you know, pursue leading in whatever, you know, place that God has put them. And we're just believing, and we need you to pray with us, we're believing that God is going to reach young people in Spain, and that he's going to call them to reach their own people, because we just can't keep sending missionaries here. We've got to raise up people who will go to their own. And that's what we're believing, that God's going to allow us to plant churches that will be filled with Spanish leaders, and that these young people, these Spanish leaders, not only will fill these churches, but national churches. And that's how we're going to see, that's how God's going to reach this nation and bring about the change that's necessary. Will you believe with us? We have these prayer cards on our table, and we need you to pray with us. I want to leave you with this one final thought. If you go to the next slide, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep, and he said, what would a man do if he lost one of his sheep? He has 100 sheep, he loses one. What's he going to do? He's going to go after that one lost sheep and leave the 99 in safety. For us in Spain, we're actually partnering with the one to reach the 99 who are lost. So whenever you see the number 99, our hope is that it will trigger you to think about Spain, to think about the McKinstrys, and that you would pray for us, and that you would pray for these churches that we're going to plant, and that you would particularly pray for Spain. Europe needs your prayers. Spain needs your prayers. It is a desperate mission field. Such incredible brokenness and sadness there. But God can heal, and he can transform. And so thank you, Randy, for having us. Thank you for listening and engaging with us with your hearts. Again, we want you to pick up those prayer cards. We'd love to leave them all with you. But God bless you. It's been great to be here.
Okay, absolutely. Well, in just a moment, we're going to take up an offering for the McKinstrys. They drove up here. They're looking to raise support for them being sent. In fact, I wanted to ask, too, I know there's a few of our missions committee here today. Pray for us that God would show us who that he wants us to support as a congregation, because more than anything, we want to walk by faith. We want to believe that God's going to bring in what they need, what missionaries need, so that we can send them out, because they are called to go, and we want to bless them. So we're going to take an offering in just a minute. But first, we want to just pray over them and give them a New Freedom Church blessing. And we thank them so much for coming. So let's pray. Do you want to just stretch a hand toward them, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this couple, Lord God, that said yes to your calling. Lord, that's all you call us to do is be willing. Lord, you'll take anybody, anyone that's willing to say yes to the calling you have for their life. God, we speak a new freedom blessing over this couple. Lord, whatever that looks like in your realm, Lord, we pray for protection. We pray for abundance. We pray, Lord, for faith that would rise up within them to help them to continue on this journey, that even when them storms pass, they'll say, no, we are walking in the calling of God. Lord, we pray that you would raise up those around them to pray for them on a regular basis. And Lord, that as your children, that you would give them many roadsides along the way to encourage them, to strengthen them, to bless them, to revive their spirits. So, Father, we release them to you. Lord, speak to speak to us clearly about our involvement with them, Father. Again, we pray a blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Could we have the ushers come forward and let's give a good offering to this couple, okay? While the offering is being passed, we're going to be speaking in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, so if you want to turn to your Bibles there and turn on your smartphone app. I'm sure quite a few have your Bible app on your phone, so you can turn those on and have those ready. And you can turn on those apps to Luke chapter 10 and your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. You know, there's an app. How many know there's an app for just about everything? There are so many apps out there. My daughter, the other day, said, Dad, why do you have so many apps? I said, because they're so cool and I need them. They're handy. They're helpful. Well, there was this young man who was going out on a blind date that somebody had set up for him. And so he was going to meet this young lady that he'd never met before. It was a blind date. So he says to this friend, he says, well, that set him up, he says, well, what if I see her and I say to myself, boy, she's really not much to look at. He says, I might not want to continue this date. You know, what do I do with that? Well, his friend says, well, they have an app for that. Don't you know that? He says, you put this app on your phone, and you keep your hand on it, and when you see her, all you do is you touch it, and then it rings, and you pick it up, and you say, hey, Mom, is that you? Oh, this is an emergency? Okay, Mom, I'll be right there. An app. So, he says, well, that sounds pretty good. So he downloads that app and has it ready, tries it out. So he goes, a few days later, he goes to meet this lovely lady. And when the door opens to her home, here's this gorgeous, beautiful lady answers the door. And all of a sudden, her phone goes off. She picks it up and she says, Mom? Mom, is that you? It's an emergency, Mom? There's an app for everything. There you go. Thought that was cute. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Being how this is Mission Sunday, this message, I know this is relevant to each and every one of us, and there's going to be something in here for you. So we're going to lift up Jesus and his word. So let's read, we're going to read Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of our town that sticks to our feet we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord of the universe, Father, your word says that if we thirst, you will fill. Lord, it's your desire that your children, and that's those here that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, that they grow. And for those that don't know you, Father, it's your will that they be drawn to you. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would anoint the dissecting of your word today as we lift up Jesus and we desire to glorify you and to learn more about you. God, that is so your heart, that you want to reveal more of yourself to us. Father, would you make that plain and clear? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I am so excited about this message. There is so much in here, and we're going to try to chop, 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 move right along. I've entitled this message, Tools for the Mission, Part 2, which I had Tools for the Mission a number of months ago, which was some physical tools that you could have with you and take with you. Just a preface, what we're reading right now is that Jesus had just come. Well, in chapter 9 of Luke, Jesus sends out the 12. And does anyone know where they were at that time, where the 12 were when he sent them out? Does anyone know? They're in Galilee. That's where they were, and he sent out the 12. So now he's going to be sending out 72, it says here. Well, actually, a lot of manuscripts say 70. In my NIV here, it says 72, but a lot of manuscripts say 70. So he sent out these, and let's put up that next slide, Jonathan. And we're going to dissect this. We're going to move right along. And it's because it says, after this. So after when? After he left Galilee. And it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of them. Now, that number 70 is very interesting in the fact that you may say, well, why did he send out 70? What's the significance of that? Well, 70, if you look in Scripture, there's a lot of passages that deal with the number 70. One of them is when Jacob went to Egypt with his whole family, 70 of them went. 70. And when God called Moses up onto the mountain, he said, come and I want you to bring 70 of the elders. So there's just many, many references to the number 70. So Jesus called 70, 72 here. And he sent them two by two. Now there's another significant item there. Two by two. Why would he send them out two by two? You know, that meant that there were only what? How many teams would have been sent out? 35. Right, 35 teams. It said that he sent them ahead of them to every town and place where he was about to go. Think about this, first of all. He sent two people into every town. Well, you'll see the significance they made. Well, if you continue reading on the chapter after beyond verse 16, you'll see what happened. But if two people did the significant thing they did there, how many can a church of this size do? Okay? So he sent out two. Now, the two also has an interesting number because there's some significant things there. First of all, there was accountability. There was protection and safety for each other. But I think most significantly, there's a verse that's really interesting in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. It says, God says regarding his people that one witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So it was an accountability witness. Also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says that every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So two, that was important. And it's ironic that when Jesus spoke quite often, he said, truly, truly, the two witnesses, truly, truly. So this was important to send them out two by two. Another interesting thing was he sent them ahead to every town and place where he was about to go. There's an interesting concept here where Jesus was about to go. So basically, they're just going out and they're preparing the way, just like us. You know, there's not one of us here that can save anyone. Right, Mark? We can't save anyone. But we can go on ahead and we can prepare the way and be used as a simple tool for the creator of the universe. A tool. We're preparing the way because who's coming up behind us? Jesus. He's the one that we present to them. He's the one that saves them. So that we are pointers. We're pointers. We're pointing people to Jesus, and then he saves them. He does the work by his Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go to verse 2. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. What does that mean? The harvest, it sounds like farming terms. The harvest is plentiful. What does that mean? That means there's a lot of souls to be saved, a lot that need to hear the message. Just like Mark shared here, 4 out of 1,000 are following Jesus. There's a lot of, you know, the need is always greater than the supply of workers. The need is always greater than the supply of workers. You know, it's something interesting here where Jesus says, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't say, but the managers are few? Or the supervisors are few? Or how about the CEOs? I don't have many of those. You know, God's looking for ordinary, simple people. Just people that are willing to say yes. Now, I'll bet you if we could have followed around Mark and Heather for their lives. I mean, simple lives, wanting to know Jesus, just heeding his calling in ministry. And when that calling said, you know, I want you to go to Spain. But I've shared a number of weeks ago that for each one of us that are followers of Jesus, the second that you got to get out of bed and you put your foot on that floor, you are a missionary. Because your family is your mission field. You go to work, your co-workers are your mission field. You go out and about, that's your mission field. It is whatever it is. So God is asking for workers. You know, I'm reminded of the statement that I heard a pastor say one time, kind of a parallel here. He says, you know, I have great news about our finance program, our building program. The great news is we have all the funds that we need. They're all available. But the bad news is it's still in your pockets. So, you know, God is looking for just workers. He's looking for workers. In fact, in John chapter 5, Jesus said, my Father is always working, and so am I. My Father is always working. You know, that means God doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber, he's always doing something. But our responsibility and intent should be to, what is God doing? How is he working in my life? What doors is he opening? Because he's always working. Even when we're sleeping, God is working. So next he says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So one of the things he's doing is saying, ask. What does that look like? It means, like we prayed a couple weeks ago for North Korea, it means you're praying for your family. It means you're praying for co-workers. But you're praying for, like we did in North Korea, God, send workers into that harvest field. And I'm sure that Mark and Heather have been praying, and that quite often when we pray, God says, you're the one I want to go. You go. You head out. But we have to remember that while we're praying for workers, and God calls us to do that, that we must be willing to go ourselves. And I'm telling you, friends, the greatest journey that you'll ever have in your walk with Christ is when he directs you in a certain direction. He says, go, because that's the best way for you. Will it be easy? No. Will it be a scary first step? Yes. But do it. Do it afraid. Heed that calling. You know, Satan tries to limit our praying because he knows that our praying will limit him. He trembles whenever he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. You know, at this point in my life, after walking with the Lord for 25 years, that I heard somebody say the other day that the number one thing that Satan hates the most is prayer. Number one. Because why? The creator of the universe says, ask and you will receive. We can do things with one prayer that we could never do in the flesh in 1,000 years. God has at his disposal angels upon angels to just, boom, he says, somebody prayed, go. There's another prayer, go. If we could see in the spiritual, folks, I don't know that we could handle it. I don't really think we could. One prayer has a lot of power and a lot of authority. In fact, part of Pastor's message recently was in Isaiah, where Isaiah says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Here I am. I'll go. That's all God's looking for, is just a hand raised. I'll go. I'll do that. Okay, verse 3. Jesus says, go. He says, go. You know, friends, God is not just saying that to these 72, and he's not just saying that to Mark and Heather. He's saying that to each one of us. Everything in this chapter here that we're going to read here is applicable. It is. If we're following Jesus Christ, you're in the game. You know, in Green Bay here, we've heard of armchair quarterbacks, right? What are those? Guys that are sitting on their couches and they're throwing these invisible footballs around, right? But when you see these guys that are these players that are injured and they're sitting on the sideline, are they happy there? No. Why? Because they want to be in the game. They want to be in the game. They want to be there. And so each one of us is called to be a missionary. Can you go to the next slide, Jonathan? I love this quote. This is by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, evangelist from, I think it's the 1800s. He said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Wow. I think that is spot on. You're either a missionary or an imposter. Okay, can we go back to verse 3 there, Jonathan? So Jesus says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Ouch. What do we know about lambs? What are some characteristics of a lamb? Especially when they're a baby. I mean, they can be so cute to look at, and they're gentle, tender, vulnerable. Why would a good God send anyone into a situation that explains it to be like a lamb amongst wolves? Why would he do that? Why would he send us in a situation like that? Now remember, he's a good God. He's good all the time. He wants us to be dependent, so dependent on him, just like that. You know, I heard somebody say recently that evil right now in this earth is on the throne, and the truth is on a scaffolding, is on scaffolding. You know, until Jesus comes back, this is an evil world with a lot of challenges, a lot of snares, a lot of wolves. But he's saying that I'm going to send you out, and you're going to learn to trust me. You're going to learn to trust me. He says that that we're to go out and to trust his commandments. But you know, there's a key there too. We need to be wise and careful. We need to be wise. I mean, we can't just go out and bleh. We need to be wise and careful, like Mark are. They're preparing their way. They're studying the language. They're studying the culture. And that, remember that when we go out, we're ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should never expect to be treated royally by the world, but rather to be persecuted and even killed. But obedience, that's the key, obedience. And what did King David say? Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they will guide me and comfort me. So we can go out that way because God has our front side, he has our back side, he has every side. Okay, verse 4. Okay, Jesus says, this is interesting. He says, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Okay, well, I can tell you, first of all, This was a short-term missions trip, okay? If you look later in chapter 22, he doesn't tell them just to go with to go without a bag or a purse or sandals, but he says, take them. And he said, if you have it, take a bag, take a purse, and if you have a sword, take that too. He says, this is a short-term missions trip, not a long-term one. So that's why he's saying, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. I've been on a lot of short-term missions trip, and the key thing is you pack light. You pack light. You don't bog yourself down with, you know, you're not taking your boombox and your big 65-inch TV. You don't take those things. You go depending on the God of the universe to supply your needs. Now, the purse, that speaks of financial reserves, which God will provide. The bag suggests food reserves, which, again, God will provide. So these things he's taken care of. In fact, let's go to, you look there, you can see that the disciples, they're not bringing their GPS. Of course, they didn't have them then, but they were packing light. And I just want to let you know that when you go, God tells you to go on a certain journey, he wants you to trust him as much as possible, because when he's all you have, he's all you need. Right? Okay. On the next verse, this is interesting, where he says, do not take sandals. Well, some expositors seem to think that don't take extra sandals. Okay? But this is interesting. Look at this verse here from Deuteronomy 29:5. This is when the Israelites were traveling through the desert, and they were there for 40 years. And look at what it says there. During the 40 years that I led you, God says, through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. God says, I will provide. I will provide. And also where he says, do not greet anyone on the road. This is interesting. That in those days, in the biblical times, that people had long ceremonial greetings. You didn't just pass somebody like we are now, or you pass, hey, how's it going? Oh, good. You know, you just didn't do that if you say anything at all nowadays. You met someone and you talked to them for a long time. Long greetings. Well, the mission was urgent. It was urgent. They were not to stop along the way and visit and exchange customary greetings. The mission was urgent. In fact, Paul told Timothy, he said that no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. When God tells you to go somewhere and do something, stay at the task. Be faithful. Do what he tells you to do. Okay? Verse 5, all right? He says, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. Peace. You know, it's interesting, first of all, that he says, when you enter a house. Now, isn't it interesting how Jesus didn't send them, go to the next synagogue, or go to the amphitheater, or go to the marketplace? He doesn't say that. He says, go to a house. Why? A personal connection. You're talking to one person or a family, and you're connecting with them. Okay? I know years ago, God got a hold of me when a church that I used to go to, I made it a habit of making sure I talked to as many people in the few minutes that I had before the service. And God got a hold of me and said, Randy, I'd rather have you spend that 15 minutes with one person than to say hi to 15. God is way more concerned about depth than he is about numbers. Quality and depth. That's what God is concerned about. Not necessarily numbers, but depth. That's why he says, go to a house. In fact, you could probably try this, that if you go to a house, speak peace to a house. Try it. Walk in peace to this house. Peace. Shalom. Actually, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom. That's what they did. Now, I'm sure that they did that. And maybe it felt kind of weird as it might for us. But you know, you walk into someone's home, especially if it's a strange house, say, I speak peace to this house. And he says that, say peace. And here's another concept to carry through. He says, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. You'll know. And peace is that, is this home open to the truth? Is it open to, you'll find that out right away. In fact, the quality of the receiver or the home determines the nature of the reception. Whatever the quality of that home or that person is, that will determine the reception of your message. I want to camp for just a couple minutes because I know this is, I'm sure, very precious to Mark and Heather. But I want to talk to you about a man of peace, a person of peace, okay? This is probably the most significant concept of this message is this right here. God sends us out like lamb amongst wolves looking for a person of peace. Now, why does he say a person of peace? Well, what's the significance in that? Why would you think? A person of peace. Well, what's the opposite? A person not of peace. Now, are they going to be a person that's not of peace going to be very receptive to your message? Probably not. And God knows that, you know, our time is precious and that we're to stay focused on the task. But a person of peace is someone that the Holy Spirit has already been working on, okay, that is receptive to your message. I was in a class a few months ago, and there was a missionary who was speaking. He's a missionary to the people of the Middle East. You know, where you have like, you know, 0.1% that are Christians, pretty dangerous, okay? So he told me, he said, this is what I've learned when I'm in the Middle East. He said, I go up to a person and I say, have you had a dream about a person in a white robe? And he said that quite often I'll have somebody say, no, I haven't, but I know somebody that has. And this gentleman says, that's my person of peace. I try to find that person. Who's that person that had that dream? Because that's an indicator to him that that person is already receptive. The Holy Spirit's been working on him. You know what, friends? That when I'm at work, I'm continually praying for my coworkers, but I'm looking for that person of peace. Why? Because I don't want to waste my time on somebody that's not open to the gospel. You know, let's don't beat people down. You might say, well, I'm going to save this person if it kills me. Remember, we can't save anybody. You find out who the person of peace is and don't waste your time. I mean, not that you shouldn't pray for the person that's not a person of peace, but don't waste your time on them. Let God open the doors. But when you find a person of peace, I challenge you, camp out there. You know, Spend time with them if you can. In fact, what does he say here? That it's a verse coming up, but spend time with that that person of peace. That's a significant thing. And as Jesus is speaking in farming terms, remember he says that we're not responsible for the outcome of the harvest, but only for throwing and planting seeds. That's it. So you want to look for that person of peace. Don't waste your time outside of that. There are too many people of peace that we can pour into, okay? I mean, how many can just say, you know, in my place of business, I can kind of see who those person of peace are. You kind of know who they are. I do. I know who they are. And when I get an opportunity, I'm planting seeds. Planting seeds. Okay, next slide. He says, stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Well, again, he's saying stay in that house because that's a person of peace. You want to stay there. You want to spend time with that person. You want to pour into them, the person of peace. And I've been overseas and been on trips, and eat whatever they give you? Yeah, we do that. There's only one thing I've never eaten on a missions trip, and that was a big green grasshopper in Africa. I didn't eat that. I wish I would have, because the people were eating them. Big, giant green grasshoppers. And to them, they're like candy bars, because that's all they got, you know? So when you find that person of peace, you stay with them, and you spend time with them. And you stay in that house. Okay, do not move around from house to house, but when you enter a town or welcome, eat what is set before you. So plant yourself there. Stay in that house. Stay with that person of peace until God releases you. Okay? And you know, friends, there's another concept here too, is I think this can relate as far as church membership. You know, you stay where you are until God tells you to go. Okay? There's a blessing there. If it gets hard, well, maybe there's something you have to learn. Maybe there's something to teach you there. I know too many people that just leave because it's too hard. There's some challenge came up. Well, how does God grow us up? Through challenges. But anyway, so you stay with that person of peace, you pour into them, and you leave when God tells you to leave. Okay, verse 9. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. I'm going to handle the second part of that briefly, but I just want to say that, friends, and in fact it's coming up in another verse, but our message, number one, is the kingdom of God is here. That's our message. The kingdom of God is here. That God wants you to be a part of it. That is our message. Right, Mark and Heather? That's the message. The kingdom of God is here. And if you can go to the next slide, Jonathan, I want to just add here that, friends, one of the, if you're a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the creator of the universe. We have power and authority by Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit. And friends, where he says heal the sick, I'd encourage you that you can do that. God can do that through you, okay? He will open up more doors by you offering to pray for people. I remember an evangelist said one time, he said, I'd rather pray for 1,000 people and have one get healed than not to pray for anybody and have nobody get healed. You never know what God might do. Well, we know that he answers prayer in his time and his way, whether it's instantaneous or later down the road. But look what Jesus said in Mark 16. And these signs will accompany those who believe. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Okay? Let's receive that by faith. Let's take advantage of that. I want to just tell you a couple of, I was in Milwaukee on Friday and I was walking down a path with my grandkids, and a lady came up to us, and she just walked with us. Just like on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus just joined those couple of guys. She just came, and we just kind of started talking, and she walked with us for a couple of miles, telling me her story. And, well, before we left, I said, Vicki, can I pray for you? She said, sure. Well, see, I knew enough about her already that I knew how to pray, what to pray for. And I laid my hands on her and prayed, and when I took my hand off of her, she was weeping. God had touched her. And I actually gave her a tract. How many know you got to have stuff available? Got to have it in your pocket. Don't go anywhere without ammunition, right? Ammunition, tracts, Bibles. I prayed for her, and I said, Vicki, I want to give you this. In fact, on the back of that tract, I made little stickers, New Freedom Church. I said, you call that number if you want to talk to me because somebody can direct you to me. So prayed with her. I don't know if she was healed. She might have been. She had some ailments. And then after that, I went to a relative's house and I had my first cousin's son who has muscular dystrophy. He's in a wheelchair. Well, God laid on my heart long before that I knew I was going to stop there. When I was there, I said to her, his mother, I said, can I pray for Asher? She said, sure. Went up in his room, laid my hands on him, and I prayed for him, believing that God was going to heal him. I believed that God was going to do that. Did he do it that second? No. But I believe God did something. So just in that one day, two opportunities to pray. And friends, you know what? Don't let those opportunities go by. Don't let them go by. When you have an opportunity to pray for somebody, just do it. You know, that's our greatest tool. Just do it. In fact, listen to this. Jesus said this in John 14. This is Jesus. This is red letter stuff, just like this is here. But he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Friends, we lie. I lie. Does God lie? Never. Never. Every prayer has significance. Seize those opportunities. Seize them and grab onto them. Okay, just briefly, can we go to the next slide, Jonathan? And kind of making our way here, like Jesus was heading toward Jerusalem. We're almost there. He says, when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to your feet, we wipe off against you. Okay, I shared this before. You know what, folks? If people are not open to your message, don't waste your time on them. Pray for them, but don't waste your time. God says that the harvest is so big. I've got so many more people for you to talk to and work with and accompany. Find that person of peace and camp out there. They're out there. They're out there. When you leave, you're not with a person of peace, go to the next one. Go to somebody else. There's plenty more. There's plenty more. And the next slide. Okay. Verse 16, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. You know, this is a big theme of this chapter of Luke. Jesus is dealing with rejection. Because, friends, guess what? You will deal with rejection. Absolutely. It's a given. We're in an evil world. And so Jesus said that whoever listens to you, if somebody, that person of peace, they're going to listen to you. They're ready. They're prepared. But he who rejects you rejects me. So don't take it personal. If somebody won't listen to your message, it's because they won't listen to Jesus. I have people now that still won't talk to me because I'm a Christian, but it has nothing to do with me. I haven't done anything to them. It's Jesus. They just don't like the truth. So they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. But what does Jesus say? They're also rejecting the one who sent me. They're rejecting God, the Father. Okay? And here Paul says that, there we go. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We're an ambassador. You know, in the news lately is where President Trump is, you know, he's hiring all these ambassadors to go out to another country. When they go to a country, they are representing the whole United States. They have all of us behind them. Okay? And it's just like when we go. We're ambassadors for the kingdom. We're going, but we have this whole army behind us, army of angels. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father, creator of the universe. So to reject an ambassador is actually to reject the one who sent him. Okay? So I know we covered a lot, but How many have gotten something personal out of this that they can take home with them, that they can take home? You know, these are Jesus' words, and we want to lift him up, and we want to prepare. You know, there's a passage that says that part of a pastor's duty is to equip the saints to do the work, right? But I just want to summarize here in closing that our mission as workers, okay? So pray for harvesters, okay? Pray for your co-workers. Pray for a country. Pray for Spain. Pray for the McKinstrys. Go out two by two. Accountability, protection. Speak peace, which is raising spiritual truth. Eat what they give you. So you want to be hospitable, okay? Stay where God's called you at to do ministry. Stay there until he releases you. Don't speak to people along the way, because you know what? Not everyone's going to accept your message. Move on. Move on. Heed the urgency of the moment. Don't take shoes or money. In other words, go humbly, trusting that God's going to provide your need. And don't jump from house to house. In other words, focus on discipling that person of peace. And the goal is that that person will multiply. It's all about multiplication. That's what it's about. Friends, as I said earlier, that every single person here, God wants to use as a missionary. Now, maybe Mark and Heather are going to Spain, but you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to Paper Converting Machine Company. That's my mission field. I know it. And I know where those persons of peace are. They're on my radar screen. In fact, just last week, I gave out two gospel DVDs to new people. Been praying for them. Look for an opportunity. You know, that's another thing, too. Wait for God to open doors. There was two open doors that opened last week, and I just, hey, will you take this and let me know what you think? Yeah. They were open. If they're not, I just move on until, you know, you again see that peace in that person. So anyway, as we close here, you know, there might be some here that are going to say that, you know, I certainly don't understand a lot of this, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, God's word is spiritually discerned. It's only understood by the Spirit of God. And unless we have the Spirit of God, we can't understand that. So I just want us to close our eyes and bow our heads. And I want to ask if there is anyone here that does not have you're not walking with Jesus, that you haven't heard these words before, but that you'd like to walk with him, you want to know him, you want to be in the game, you know that maybe you're not right with him, and that you want to be, you want him to forgive your sin. If that's you, I'd just like you just to slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand and say, that's me. I'd like you to pray for me. Just slip up your hand if you don't have that personal walk with Jesus. You don't have that personal walk, but you'd like to. Okay, yes, I see that. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to just to say, I'd like... For those that raise their hand, I'd like to just to say a prayer for you and with you. And if you could just, why don't we just all just pray along with these that have raised their hands. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me in spite of me. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. Would you please forgive me and help me to know you? please forgive me for my sin that you paid on that cross for me. Help me to walk with you and to grow with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now for those that, I'll just take this, for most of us here, the message home, that, you hear Mark and Heather and you say, oh boy, I could never go to Spain. I could never move out of Green Bay. Man, I've never seen my place of employment as a mission field. In fact, I've never seen my home, my children, as a mission field. I mean, really. And even beyond that, which gets even scarier in a way, this is a new concept for me. But I'm willing to be used. How many friends, you know what? God's looking for one thing. And every single person in here is qualified. Willingness. That's it. That's all that's needed is willingness to say, I'll go. I'll be a missionary. In fact, Lord, tomorrow when I step out of that bed and I put that foot on the floor, You use me. So I just want to speak a blessing over each one of us. And I just want you to just offer in your heart to the Lord, if you're willing, and say, Lord, I am willing. And I've heard this message today, and it makes sense. Will you use me? I don't want to be an armchair quarterback. I want to be in the game. So for those that are willing to be used, as Jesus said here, would you just raise your hand and bow your heads, and I'm just going to pray. Raise your hand if you're willing. Lord Jesus, I speak a blessing over these here, Father, that are raising their hands, that are offering a willingness which is all that you desire. And Father, for those that are not willing or that maybe don't have their hand raised, Father, would you work in their lives? And Lord, that they be honest and say, Lord, I'm not willing at this moment, but I want to be. Please help me. So Lord, would you encourage them and strengthen them? And Father, for those that have our hands raised that say, Lord, I'm willing. That's it. I've learned some things here today. I'm willing. Would you give us open doors? Would you allow us, God, a greater chance of your Spirit to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit? To recognize those persons of peace? To have wisdom and restraint? Not to beat our heads against a wall for people that aren't ready, that aren't open? But Lord, to be ready to pray with those that are open? To speak, God, to those that are ready and available. So, Lord, we want to be used. Would you open those doors? Would you equip us for the service? Lord, equip us. Equip us, oh God. And, Lord, finally, that when you do that, and you will, Lord, help us to share that with others, to be an encouragement, to strengthen others, God, to share about what you're doing. About what you're doing, that it would not be kept to ourselves. So, Father, I just pray the wind of your Holy Spirit would be blown over these people to equip them, to grant them sensitive spirits, open eyes, open ears, and open hearts. And, God, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For those that came here today and, you just said, Lord, if anybody's read the book on Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim, through the journey, has that backpack on him. And, you might have some of that today. And you know what? I just need prayer just to have somebody come alongside and to help to shoulder this burden and to ask the Lord to take it away. That's why we're here. I just want to offer the rest of this service, and the rest, you can go back and meet Mark and Heather. They'll be back by their booth back there. Take some of their prayer cards. But if you need prayer for anything, I just want to offer you the opportunity here to come up, and I'll pray with you. In fact, Jordan, do you mind coming up here? And that we can just help shoulder a burden. You know, we recognize that everybody came into this place on a different trail, on a different path. And we want to be a blessing in that way, to shoulder that burden and ask the Lord to lift that. So if you need that, please come up here. Otherwise, the rest of you are dismissed to go out into your mission field, right?